Man, you guys are looking great today. It's so good to see all of you. My name is Josh Jones. I'm the director of our hospitality teams here at Active Church. And I'm excited about today. Mother's Day, Father's Day, I feel it's one of our best Sundays of the year because of this. We always do 5 on 5. Is this new to anyone? If this is your first time here, let me explain it to you. We got 5 awesome guys here, and they simply have 5 minutes, 5 minutes each to share their story, to share what God's put on their heart. And if they go over 5 minutes, there's a little button that we push, and all of a sudden they fall through the stage and we move on to the next one. That'd be really cool if we were able to do that. But let me tell you, you're in for a treat. We went through a rehearsal, and these guys, it's so cool that these guys, some are right in the middle of raising kids, others are on the back end of raising kids, and now they're getting to be grandpas. And it's so cool to hear their story and their perspective. So you're in for a treat. Here's my ask, and Brandon mentioned it as well. Man, when these guys get up here, let's cheer them on. Let's clap, even if it's a terrible point. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's cheer these guys on. And dads play an important role. They play an important role. And I'm so thankful to have my dad up here on stage with us. You cheer for him now. Wait till he gets done talking. I'm kidding. Let me introduce you to our dads. We have, kicking it off, Mr. Thomas Whittaker. That is my British accent. It's terrible. Everything Tom says sounds so much better than what it actually is just because of his accent. We have Mr. CJ right here. We have Isaac. Now, I'll just tell you, so I've always been a small guy, and I've always looked for guys to be friends with that could protect me if needed, and that is why Isaac is one of my best buds. You don't want to mess with Isaac. We got Brian. And then you got the guy that's known around my house as Pops, Mr. Gary Jones. So listen, we got 5 and 5. Thomas is going to kick it off. Can we give a big round of applause for Tom?
Somehow I got the short straw to go first. But hey, everyone. I have notes down here, so if I'm doing this, that's what that is. And I also bought something for a little bit later. But I'm Tom, and that beautiful ball of joy is my little dude, Oliver. So yeah, I've often felt that for me, singing and jumping around behind a microphone is an awful lot easier than talking, partly because, like Josh was saying, people have trouble understanding half the words that come out of my mouth. So you're stuck with me for the next few minutes, so if you need to get Google Translate out, that's okay. But a little backstory. So on the morning of January 31st, 2019, Ollie's mom ran downstairs and shook me awake and threw a plastic pregnancy test in my hand. And that morning, as my eyes adjusted, I could start to make out, you know, that word pregnant on that faint digital display. And that was the moment I knew that life was never going to be the same again. So skipping approximately 9 months forward, and on October 12th, 2019, Oliver made his grand entrance into the world. And I can't think of a, yeah, yep, there we go. I can't think of a time in life where I felt so many emotions at once. Absolute joy, excitement, fear, anxiousness, nervousness, all came spiraling down as Oliver arrived. But holding that tiny little boy in my hands, that just floated away and allowed me such a beautiful glimpse at just how our Heavenly Father cares for us. Driving home from the hospital and that first night and, gosh, those first baths and those first really interesting diaper changes. If you're a parent, you know what that means. Ollie was a precious gift that fulfilled parts of my my life that I didn't even know I had. And then and 5 weeks later, my whole world came to an abrupt stop. I'd not honored Ollie's mum the way that she deserved, and it ultimately led to our separation, which turned into a divorce. I was suddenly faced with the realization of not being this dad that I had imagined and the dad that I dreamt of. I battled with the deepest and realest fears of inadequacy, that my decisions had somehow made me unworthy to be called a dad. But I feel like I can stand here and talk to you guys today, because by the grace of God, he's walked me through the darkest times of my life and has led me to a life of hope. Yeah, amen to that. He's shown me just how much he loves me. And I had a friend share an analogy last year that that really struck me, and the fact of, you know, if Ollie had broken something or had caused trouble, the last thing I would do is want to push him away. I would want to hold that little boy tight. I would want to tell him how much I loved him and how much he meant to me. And if that isn't a picture of how our Heavenly Father feels about us when we mess up, I don't know what is. But one afternoon a number of years ago, I went on YouTube and I searched. I just had some free time, as you do, and I searched how to juggle. I figured it couldn't be too hard. But I did stop after one video, so please don't judge me too hard. I don't have juggling balls, but I have tennis balls. And feel free to applaud incredibly loudly when I finish this. Oh yeah, that there we go. That didn't work that well in practice, so. When I was asked to share today, I was trying to think of something that I could use that would relate to what the Lord's been showing me this past year and a half. Through my life, I've spent a lot of time focusing on myself. And it's very easy then, when Ollie came along, to add him to the mix. But when you start to learn to juggle, at least in the one video I watched, they tell you to start with just two juggling balls, me and Ollie. It's really easy, to be honest. It's comfortable. I'm pretty sure 99% of you in the room could do it. But it's not juggling. It's not until you take that third ball and throw it in the mix. You let it change the way that you handle things, and you take your focus just off of the two things. You change your focus and you start to juggle. It's easy for me to focus on me, to focus on Ollie, but it's not what God intended. He wants to complete the picture in our lives. And when my focus isn't just on me or just on Ollie, well, it's a lot like juggling. His desire as a father is to complete us and to complete me. In his word, he promises, in the times that I've felt unable, he's shown me that he's able to bless me abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having everything I need, I will abound in every good work, including being a dad. When I felt like I can't do this, in my weakness, he reassures me that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when I felt so alone, he's whispered to me, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He's such a good father, and I'm learning day by day to be more like Jesus, in the desire that Ollie too will grow up to know how abundantly he is loved. Thanks, guys.
Good morning, church. How are we doing today? Doing good? Awesome. So like Josh said earlier, my name's CJ. This is my beautiful family. It's my wife, Michelle, and my daughters, Juliet and Ella. And it might be a little hard to tell, but that right there is my son. So he's due in October. So we are super excited for that. First, I want to start out, and I want to thank our pastor and our church staff for giving us the opportunity to speak this morning. Growing up, my formative years, up until I was in middle school, my dad was a pastor. And so here I am, the good pastor's kid, sitting on the front row, and then dad starts telling stories about me and airing my dirty laundry in front of the entire church. And I'm like, Dad, what gives? So he lives out of state now, but he'll be watching online. So Dad, payback. So when you guys were growing up, how many of you enjoyed being disciplined? And I don't mean like, you know, a lot of us, myself included, got in trouble a lot, right? And you would think by the amount of times that we got in trouble, you must enjoy this because you're doing a lot. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, that was your motivation. I'm going to do that because it's going to get me in trouble. Anybody? Right. Nobody. Getting in trouble, being corrected, disciplined, spanked, grounded, time out, whatever it may be, it's not fun. My four-year-old, if I put her in time out, and she likes to tell me, Dad, I don't want to be in time out anymore. To which I respond, yeah, that's kind of the point. It's not meant to be fun. So when I was growing up and I would get into trouble, my parents used to tell me this thing all the time. And they would say, I'm only doing this because I love you. If I didn't care about you, I would just let you go and do whatever you wanted. But because I love you, we have to correct this behavior. And I hated it. I hated that statement. My thought was, well, you can see what you're doing is causing me pain, so why don't you just let me be? But they can't do that. That's our charge as parents. We have to raise our children. We have to correct our children. So then recently I found myself saying the same thing to my daughters. I'm doing this because I love you. How many of you have ever said something and you go, oh my God, I've turned into my father, right? If I was gonna say, oh my God, I've turned into my mother, then I would have said something more like, I don't care how big you are, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. So in preparing for this week, I found a verse in the Bible that actually says the same thing. So Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. So have any of you that are parents ever been short with your kids? Oh, okay, two of us. So sometimes that might manifest in what appears to be an angry outburst or a curt voice or short on patience. And I've had that happen with my kids. I might speak harshly, but then I get a conviction. It's essentially the Holy Spirit telling me, that's not how you were intended to raise your children, and you need to correct it. So in the same way, have you guys ever felt that conviction? Have you ever been disciplined by the Lord? Right? It's very much the same feeling, whether you're being disciplined by your father or by your father. We have that same, hey, Dad, I don't like this anymore. In Hebrews 12 and 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So that's something that my wife and I have learned together. That conviction from the Holy Spirit, it gives us peace in disciplining our children, because we know that we are raising them and correcting them from a place of love as directed by God. So this morning I want to encourage you. The discipline that God allows us to experience is for our good. It's not a punishment in the sense that we are judged and punished because we did wrong. It's a corrective action. It is for the purpose of helping us come to a better place. Just as we see in Proverbs, the discipline leads to life. That is the purpose and direction of all of God's discipline. So as parents, specifically as fathers, because it's Father's Day, I want you to lead your families in a kind, patient manner with love in your heart. Breathe life into your children through proper discipline. And in the same way, when you feel that conviction from the Holy Spirit, don't take it personally, don't take offense to it. Rather, use it as a learning opportunity to change your behavior, knowing that God is also disciplining us from a place of love. Thank you.
What's up, Active Church? All right, God is good, amen? All right, if you were to go back about 18 or 20 years and tell me I was going to be up here public speaking, I'd say you're crazy. No way, not me. You see, like everybody else here probably, I'm afraid of public speaking. Actually, all week long, I probably prayed more now than ever for Jesus to come back so that I could escape this, right? So, happy Father's Day to all of you. You guys made it. Good, we're here. All right, so my name is Isaac, and I'm on the safety team here. All right, some of you guys may recognize me. I'm in the lobby or hanging out at kids, right? So, my beautiful wife and I, right there. Look at my kids, beautiful. God, I love those kids. And my wife, she's hot. Right, so we've been here for 4 years. We've been serving on this at this church 4 years since we launched. Man, 4 years. Can you believe that? September 17th, I think. Wow. So, all right, when I was a kid, I was drugged. Literally. Some of you guys are like, oh, man, that's bad. You know, every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, I was drugged to church. Drugged, dragged, same difference, right? At least until I became a teenager. All right, when I became a teenager, I decided to go out and do things my own way, right? We all know how that sounds, right? The prodigal son, that was me. So after years of doing things on my own, becoming miserable, so to speak, you know, the analogy eating from the pig's trough, I finally realized that I needed to go back to God. You know, I came back to the Father's house, so to speak. You see, I grew up in a home where my mom went to church and my dad didn't. Did you know that it's shown that if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful the mom is, 1 in 50 children will grow up to also be a churchgoer. So I'm one of those 50. Yeah, so, okay, so now, as what is my goal as a father? My goal as a father is to raise godly, responsible adults, right? We want them to grow up to be adults. So, and to see to it that they don't stray far from the Father's house. And I'm talking about his house, not mine. Eventually, I'd hope that they grow up and get out of the house. All right, so how am I doing this? How am I doing this? Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart from it. So I'm training them up. I'm training them up doing what? Using God's word. You know, we teach them to memorize scripture. Scripture like Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, or Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. It's hard. Trust me, I know. You have to live it, right? Because a few times, my kids, when I'm not living it, they turn that around on me and they'll be like, Dad, gentle answer. Gentle answer turns away wrath, Dad. And I'm like, oh, you're right. So you gotta, you know, when they do that, I apologize. You know what? You're right. And I'll change my tone, you know. So we have to do that. We gotta live it, you know, because we are the model, right? So what and who they see is who they will be. Let me say that again. What and who your kids see is who they will grow up to be also. So we have to model that in the home. It might not be 100%, just do your best. And when you're wrong, admit it, you know? So I teach them to pray. So I teach them scripture, right? Memorize scripture. And then we teach them to pray. Jesus, or the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Also in Luke 11, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, his disciples came to him and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. So I started teaching my kids to pray probably as soon as they started to talk. Every single night, I would go to their bed and I would say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Every single night, I said it so much every single night that they began to say it themselves. And now they're at an age where they actually pray on their own. They say their own personal prayers. They'll even come to me and mom or grandma, and they'll put their hands on us when we're not feeling good, and they'll pray for us on their own. They'll pray for their own meals. It's great, right? So we teach them to pray. We teach them scriptures. And lastly, my favorite, I love worship. So I teach them to worship. You know, the Bible says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. So I can honestly say, at our house, worship music is on all the time. Every single day, worship music. The only thing that's probably on more at our house is probably Cocomelon or Paw Patrol. You know? So how do I teach them to worship? Teach them to worship. They see us by when we're dancing, singing in the house, we're praising the Lord, hands held high, fully surrendered, in the car, at home, wherever it is that we're at. That's what we're doing. So I teach them to pray, we memorize scripture and how to worship the Lord. And also we bring them to church all the time. All right. So, and if you're here and you're watching online, or you're like, well, my kids don't go to church, or my kids are grown, or if you work long hours like I do and you have a stressful job, and if your kids are like mine, very strong-willed and stubborn, you know, and there's sibling rivalry. You got that going on in the house. And sometimes you just don't want to come home from work and you're like, I don't want to do a princess tea party right now. I don't want to go on that bike ride. You know, your kids need your presence in the home, your involvement, right? So don't give up. Speak life into your kids and pray blessings over them daily. In the same way you love your kids, God loves them even more. He is a good, good father. And Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall, I think, is it up? Do you guys have it? No? Okay. Well, I'm just going to paraphrase it real quick. His word will not return empty, right? So if you're teaching your kids all these things, there's going to be a harvest. I forgot what else I was going to say. All right. Well, that's it, guys.
All right, good morning, Active Church. My name is Brian Backens. Honored to be with you this morning, and honored to be on stage with really some exceptional fathers and men of God. They've been inspiring to me this week. Also, blessed beyond measure, three wonderful children, Claire, our son-in-law, Meshach, my beautiful wife, Diane, myself, obviously, and Ray, my beautiful daughter, Ray, Jared, and his future wife up there. So blessed to be married almost 33 years to my beautiful wife, Diane. She is actually gracious enough to share Father's Day with her birthday this year. So happy birthday, Diane. I love you. And again, thanks for sharing. The verses that I chose for today are Philippians 2, 3 through 5. So don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. So if I was going to paraphrase this, I would basically say, it's not about you. And as I live my life, especially as a father, I look back and often felt that I did live my life as it was about me first. And one autumn day, that came clear to me. It was that time, if you're a son, daughter, parent, you've experienced this where your child is going off to school, their first job. So our oldest, Jared, was going off to college. It was a location far away from where we lived. And so we made it a big family event. The whole family went, my son, obviously, and our two daughters, my wife and I. So took him to college, got him moved in. That evening, we said our goodbyes, shed a few tears, and then we went back to our hotel. And so now it is the next morning, and it's a nice hotel, so we have breakfast is included. The open area is there for us to get our breakfast, and you grab a table of your own. And so I'll go get the table. And so I walked over to the table that I picked, and I'm like, oh, there's only a couple chairs here, let me grab some more chairs for the family so that then when they come over. And so my daughters and my wife joined me, and we kind of were sitting there. And then one of my daughters looked at me and said, Dad, what's up with the fifth chair? There's only four of us. Why don't you get five chairs? And at that very moment, I actually started to cry at the breakfast table. My daughters are looking at me like, what's up with Dad? He's having an emotional breakdown at breakfast. And as I stared at that chair, I was like, my time with my son growing up, it was over. Obviously, he was still with me in other ways. But my mind was racing. What else could I have done? What did I miss? I found myself reflecting on how much more I should have done, how much more I should have poured into my family. I was physically present, but often not emotionally present for my family. I was often focused on myself. My spouse filled in the blanks, doing way more than her fair share of the parenting. So rather than putting God first in my life and my family second and myself last, I often have myself first. So with that knowledge and that experience, I offer the following encouragement to other fathers and mothers, what their daughters and sons need from them. They need time, they need memories, they need those time deposits into their lives. You'll never get those times back. When the sporting or school event is over, it's gone. You'll never get that time back. Those moments with our sons and daughters are fleeting. So prior to today, I asked my three kids, what were some of your memories of growing up? And they're great kids, and so they're really nice and gave all positive memories. But it wasn't about that trip to Disney World, the big event like that. It was small things. It was the hike that we went on where we didn't calculate the amount of daylight and distance right, and we dangerously hiked back in the dark. It was the piggyback ride up the stairs and the time you spend with them before bed. It was the time when they were dressed as Cinderella and you took time to dance with them. Yeah. And our sons and daughters need our hearts, fathers. They need to hear, I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're good at. So fathers, don't blink. Put your priorities first. Get your priorities right. God first, your family and others second, yourself last. No matter where you are in your walk with your sons and daughters, pour your time and your heart into your family.
Good job. All right, good morning. You see, Josh got his Bible, so he must be getting ready. I'm Gary Jones, and I'm a survivor. I survived fatherhood. I raised three wonderful kids, Karina, Lacey, and you all know Josh. But before I get started, I wanted to say that I consider this a blessing, though, to be on stage with these people, these wonderful fathers, but most of all with my son. Happy Father's Day, son. And it's okay to cry. They told me it's okay to cry, so if I start crying, that's okay. My wife and I, we've been blessed raising our three wonderful kids. It wasn't easy, and I didn't always know what I was doing because I was a young father at that time. I was only 18. But with God's help, we made it. Everybody survived. So Rhonda and I gave our lives to the Lord when my oldest daughter, she was about 7, and Josh was about 3 months old. And our family scripture, and then Lacey, my youngest one, she came along later. But our family scripture is Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And that stands true today. It's actually on a plaque on my son's wall today. But I'd like to share with you today how God and the Holy Spirit and helped me raise our kids. First of all, I prayed for my children daily. Remember that. I prayed for them daily. Asked God to help me lead them. I asked God to help me teach them the right way to go. I didn't always get it right. The decisions that I made wasn't always right, but it worked out. Everybody survived. So we taught our kids also to love God. Always put God first in your life. And I see that in their lives today. We taught them that family is very important. They knew they could always count on us and always count on each other no matter what. Each one of them knew that they were loved, and we always taught them that they was a gift from God, and that's something that you need to remember. Children are a gift from God to you. You know, God blessed those kids in your hands, put those kids in your hands for a reason. We taught our kids that church is important. Church was never an option in our family. Isaac talked about being drugged to church. We was at church every time the doors opened, and we took our kids. It wasn't no ifs and buts. They went. And we took them to a good Bible teaching church. Taught them how to build character, good friendships. They learned to love God, and they learned to learn how to serve others. And you see that in Josh's life today. So you may wonder if our kids ever got in trouble. They did. They was normal kids, and they got in a lot of trouble, but they were disciplined too when they needed it. We spanked them. We grounded them. Timeouts wasn't invented back then, I don't think. And now it's all timeouts, you know, you get in the corner. But anyway, that's how we raised our kids. And they turned out to be great parents, and it's really a blessing to us to see that they're raising their kids the same way that we raised them. I'd like to share a story with you real quick. remember, my first point was always pray for your kids. When my oldest daughter, we went to a football game one day, and she came up to me and she said, "Dad, I want to go riding around with my friends." And she had a great group of friends. I mean, I knew them, and they was really good, but good kids. But for some reason in my spirit, I felt like I shouldn't let her go. So I told her no. She got mad, and she was yelling and screaming, asking me why and this and that. But I just felt in my spirit to say no. Well, about 2 o'clock that morning, we got a phone call from one of her friends, and they'd been in a car accident, and one got killed. So I'm saying this to say that, or saying that to say this. Always pray for your kids. And we always prayed a hedge of protection around about them, that God would watch over them. And so I'm just encouraging you today to do that. Before I shut this thing off, I want to leave you with this quote. The greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be what you do, but it's who you raise. Okay. Thank you.
Love you, Pops. Come on, let's give it up for these five guys. They did an awesome job, didn't they? Good job, fellas, good job. Before we end today and we all go home, and I know that we're barbecuing at my place, my stomach's already growling. I was thinking this morning just about our Heavenly Father. And we've heard what these fathers have had to say, and I would just curious of what our Heavenly Father would whisper, would say to us. And I thought of this verse in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and it's almost like the birthing of Jesus' ministry here on earth, almost like the kickoff to his ministry. And in verse 16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he's being baptized by John the Baptist, he was baptized, and Jesus came up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and whom I am well pleased." And I think that if there was anything God wanted to whisper to you today, Dad, if there was anything that God wanted to whisper to you today, men, say, he calls you son. He says, "That's my son." It's amazing that the creator of the universe created you and I to be his son and his daughter. Like, we are claimed by the God of the universe. "That's my son. And I love you." Did you hear God whispering today that he loves you? It's amazing that the depth of love that God has for you does not change. Like, he loves you the same when you're doing good, and he loves you just the same when you make some stupid decisions in life. His love does not change, and he loves you. How crazy is it that I just feel that God is whispering to us today that not just, "That's my son, and I love you," but "I'm pleased." Dad, God is pleased by you. You may not feel like you're doing a good job. You may not see the fruit of your labor just yet, but know today that you're loved, that you're claimed by God, and that he is pleased by you. You may not be where you want to be, but you're much farther than where you started. I don't know about you, but for me being a dad, sometimes I feel like I'm probably a little harder on myself than I am on others. Like, it's easier for me to forgive someone else than to forgive myself for some dumb decisions that I've made. Like, it's easy for me to show grace to others than maybe accept grace and mercy for myself. But today I think that if God was here, I think he would whisper that he loves you, that you are his own, and that he's pleased. Dad, we play a critical role in life. Your role cannot be replaced by anyone or by something. You're important. And you have a battle to fight. You have a kingdom to advance. You have children to protect and raise in the ways of Christ. And we need you in the game. God created you for this. I think back of my dad, and there's a lot of things that my dad did for me that I'm thankful for. But the thing that I'm most thankful for is the decision that he made to follow Christ. The most impact that he's had on my life, and the biggest impact that he's had on my family's life, is not what he's provided for us. It's not what he said to us, but it's the decision that he made to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. See, what you saw today with my dad being on stage, with me being here, it wasn't always like that. My dad wasn't raised in church. He wasn't raised learning Bible stories, learning about baby Jesus. It was all foreign to him until a friend of his invited him to church one day. And because of the invite, his life was changed forever. Did you know, Dad, that some of the decisions that you make have a greater impact on others than it actually does yourself? Some of the decisions that you make will impact others more than it impacts your life. And the decision that my dad made when I was 3 months old, sure, it impacted his life. It transformed his life, if we're honest. But can I tell you, it made a bigger impact on generations to come, all because of a decision that he made to follow God. Dads, you may not make all the right decisions, but there's one decision you need to get right. You need to serve God. You need to make God a priority in your life. And you won't get it right all the time. I don't, my dad doesn't, for sure. But when your kids see you serving God, I'm telling you, you'll impact generations to come. Would you bow your heads? God, I'm so thankful for the dads, for the men in this church, for the men that are here at Active Church, Fremont Theater. And Lord, I pray that what you whispered to me, God, that they would feel, God, in their heart, that they're a son of the creator of the universe, that they are loved by you, and that you're pleased. And God, I pray that you would give them strength and the wisdom and the courage to serve you, to put you first, and to raise their family in church. And while every head is bowed, no one looking around, maybe some of you are here that you've never surrendered to Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And we don't want to end this service without giving you an opportunity to make that decision. The same decision that my dad made many years ago that have impacted generations to come, this could be the day that you change the course, the direction that your family is headed, simply by making the decision to accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved. All it is a decision first. Today is that opportunity for you. If you've drifted, if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, if you need to come back, this is your opportunity. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I'll you got to do is just raise your hand. You're raising your hand for me so I know who to pray with. You're raising your hand to God and say, God, I'm coming back. And then we're going to pray together as a church on the count of three. One, two, Dad, if that's you. Mom, if that's you. Sir, ma'am, if that's you, this is your opportunity. One, two, three. Raise your hand if that's you. I'm coming back. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's pray together as a church. I pray and you repeat after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a second chance. Come into my life. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give it up for those that...